Anyway, as we think about becoming parents, we have this idea. I know this young man, and maybe some of you know him too, that was teaching a Sunday school class and was telling parents who have children how they ought to be raising their children, and he wasn't even married yet. A few years later, I met this young man, having been married and having children of his own, and met him at a Walmart here in Danville, and was just talking, and all of a sudden this little child comes running up, and he was gone. And I looked at him, he says, "It just didn't go like I had it planned." We have this idea of what rearing children is going to look like. And you're all prepared for it, and then it's just about time for this new little bundle of joy to arrive. You begin to panic, especially as a father. You begin to panic because you know that this moment is arriving where the new responsibility is going to take place. And so as the time comes and the baby arrives, and you put that child in your arms, and she's stolen your heart, she captures your whole life, all the perimeters, all the plans, all the thinking that you have just been blown away because it's new. And in the face of that new child, as you look at that new baby, that innocent, helpless, oh my goodness, am I going to be the father of this? Because, you know, you realize that, yeah, they're going to want to eat as well. And boy, they're going to be going to college in just 18 years. And, you know, your mind goes to all these places because you want to do what's best for your children. But the problem is they don't come with an instruction sheet. And it's pretty much trial and error. And you do what you know to do. And I don't know about you folks here, but I drew a lot from my parents, because of what they did. And you know, as I look back, I never thought my father had ever done anything wrong until he got old enough and he was just about ready to go home. And he began to tell me about all the things that he did. He was just an ornery character. But I drew so much from what he had, and I realized that he was human as well. And heavens knows, I know that I made a lot of mistakes when I was parenting as well. But I want to share with you today the picture of a perfect father. And of course, I'm not talking about a human being here, but I'm talking about the model of fatherhood that all Christians should aspire to be. And I chose the book of Exodus because Exodus has to do with the liberation of the Israelite people from the bondage of slavery in Egypt. And I don't know whether I'm correct or not about this, but I believe that this story of the Israelite children is your story and my story. Everything that they experienced, everything that they went through, is the journey of our life. It's the journey of all Christians. The times of the testing, the times of the trial, the times of the successes, the times of the failures, they were ours. But in a time where Israel needed a father the most, we find that God speaks. And I want to use as our passage for today, Exodus 6, 5 through 8. And I know on your bulletin, and I think I may have told Teresa Genesis, but it's Exodus 6, 5 through 8. So I'm going to give you just a second to turn there. God looks down and he speaks. He speaks encouragement to his children so that they might understand that he has not forsaken them, he has not forgotten them, but he knows where they are, and he knows their need. In verse 6 in this passage, it begins, "Therefore say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you. With an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment, I will take you as my own people. I will be your God, and you will know that I am the Lord your God who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. And I will bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. and I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord. This voice of encouragement had to bring joy to the hearts of people. And I think as we look at our children and as we try to do our best to raise our children, we try to deliver them from the things that would enslave them. I am saddened and almost sickened at the slavery that our generations are experiencing. And it's not just a young generation anymore. It's a generation, my generation, and a generation that follows me, and the one that follows the two that follows them. The generation, the slavery that we allow ourselves to become a part of. And every father who loves his children, every parent who loves their children wants to save their children from experiencing these extents of slavery. Because they rob your livelihood. They rob your life. They steal your joy. They take all the things that God intended as good. They take it from us. And so the Israelites who now were under a Pharaoh who didn't know Joseph, and they were beginning to be worked harder and harder because they seemed to be very prolific, and the Egyptians became afraid of them. So they thought if they worked them harder, that the numbers would dwindle. It didn't happen. And the Israelites continued to flourish. And so as the labor increased, the cries of the children went up. I want to turn just as a little bit of background, and there's two passages that I want to share. One of them is Genesis, the second chapter, verses 23 and 24. And it's very telling. And these are the four characteristics of the perfect father. During that long period, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned in their slavery and cried out, and their cry for help because of their slavery went up to God. God heard their groaning, and he remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. So he looked on the Israelites and was concerned about them. In that passage of Scripture, with a perfect father, he hears, he sees, he remembers, and he is concerned. Now, as a father, have you ever experienced this scenario with your children? I have. Because, you know, children, we test the boundaries. I know I never personally did test the boundaries, but children test boundaries. That's how they learn to grow. That's how they learn right from wrong. And so as we have these children and they begin to look around and they begin to experience things, one of the most important things that a good father can do is to listen, to hear their children. Because if you're listening, your children are going to tell you what they're thinking. They're going to tell you what they're about. And if you're a good father, you're going to see your children. You know, when we were at church camp, almost invariably there were a small group of children or young people that came to camp that did everything that is written in the code book that you are not supposed to do. They did everything. Oh, surely not. But they did these things for a specific reason. And it wasn't because they wanted to be mean or ornery or discontent. Occasionally there were those who were that way. But most of them just wanted to be seen. And the problem that they experienced is they would bring that to camp was that at home, they were never seen. And if you get to talking to these young people, they can tell you some very interesting stories, maybe some things you don't want to know, but there are some things that are very telling and revealing. Mom and dad have broken up, got a new girlfriend, got a new boyfriend, and they're both working all the time. We're home alone. Nobody sees us. Nobody hears us. Nobody even knows we're around. In fact, I feel like an inconvenience. But to hear a child, to listen to a child, to see that child, to under, and you remember. God remembers. Remember the covenant that he made with Abraham, with Isaac and Jacob. And then we remember as we listen and we see our children. We remember the responsibility that God has given to us to guide them. Now, here's the trick. You know, God gives us these little bundles of joy that grow into big bundles of challenge, and that all these things that transpire. You got to remember, as you try to mold them into who you want them to be, that God has already set the mold. God has already created their psyche. He's created their interests. He's created all these things in this child. And it isn't my job as a parent to change what God has made. My job as a parent, and it takes so much patience, is to channel that perfect gift that God has given to this individual that he's entrusted you to rear, to encourage that for good, for God's purpose. You know, we had another young man at church camp. He was the preacher's grandson. And I say the preacher because the guy was there. He's been there for 40, 50 years now. And he's well known. I don't care where you go, guy knows him. But this was his grandson. And he was probably, at that point in his life, the honoriest young man I'd ever known. And there were times when you were around him, you wanted to just choke him to death. But even in the midst of that, you want to love him. And I was talking to his dad one day, and his dad says, you know, I don't know what to do with him. And this was an epiphany. I didn't come up with this on my own. I says, you know, God made this child. Our job, the hard job, is just to channel him in the right direction. And, you know, to this day, this is a wonderful young man. He's got his own family now. I imagine he's reaping what he has sown. But it turned out well. But we have to remember. The Father, the good Father, remembers this responsibility that he has been given by God himself. And the fourth thing that we see in this passage of Scripture, God was concerned. He wasn't distracted. He wasn't removed. He wasn't distant. But he was concerned. And when you're concerned, you get involved. You like to make suggestions that are more than suggestions. Like when my dad would suggest that we do this or that. It wasn't a suggestion, even though it was worded in a suggestion. That was a command. But when we're concerned, we try to invest ourselves with advice that would lead them in a right direction. Or that rather we would try to control circumstances. And by the way, control is an illusion as well. We're not in control of very much of anything. But we try to establish what is best for that young person. And that's exactly what God has done for his people, Israel. If you want to turn to Genesis, the next chapter, chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, you're going to hear something very, very familiar. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. God again sees his people, he hears his people, he's concerned about his people, and he responds to their need. You know, the one thing about babies is that they really change your biological clock. They are supposed to eat at 8 o'clock in the morning, 12 o'clock at noon, and 6 o'clock in the evening, right? Well, the schedule's not that way. And if they don't get the sustenance that they need, or, you know, every once in a while, you have to change the diaper. And if you don't do those things, there's a reaction to that. And it's loud and it's noisy and it's obnoxious and it's incessant. It won't quit until you have remedied those needs. Now this time when God speaks to Moses, he's going to take care of the issue. And when you feed that child and when you change that child and you hold that child and you comfort that child, things get pretty tranquil and it changes. But unless you do those things, things do not change. One of the great characteristics of the perfect Father is that he responds to our needs. And as an earthly father, as an earthly parent, we respond to the needs of our children. Now, I would like to say I was perfectly successful, but success is a relative term that can never truly be defined. I am proud of my children. I love my children, but they are not me, thank goodness. And as we share our lives together now on a different level, I can honestly say that they have become my friends. Dear friends. Friends that I enjoy being around. Friends that I like to do things with. Friends that we have things in common with. And out of that friendship arises the love that God, our Heavenly Father, has given us in an unfathomable, infinite way. A lot of our life experiences haven't been good in our homes. Maybe you have been a product of that. Maybe there are things that you wish your father would have done for you. Maybe you had a substitute father who really didn't appreciate you like you would like to be appreciated. And if we could absorb, if we could have the information of the perfect Father at a vulnerable time in our lives, to know that there is a perfect God who sees us, who sees our pain, who sees our heartache, who sees our need. And he hears us when we cry out, and he remembers us, and he's concerned about us. Maybe that could have made a difference. One of the greatest missions of the church, in my opinion, is that we share this urgent message of a perfect Heavenly Father who sacrifices to the nth, to the last degree, so that we can have a good life. Quite often, and I've been so guilty of this, I've been so absorbed into what I'm doing that I forget to look out and see what the needs of others are. Because I believe that God did not put any one of us on this planet to just live for ourselves. But he put us here to share in relationship, to share in the love of the Father, to bask in his goodness. And those we see that are out there struggling, that don't have these things, to maybe invite them into the circle of God's love in our arena where we are. Maybe we aren't the best example of a Christian, but we have something to offer. We will never be perfect until that day that we are complete and whole in heaven. Now, that might be a contradiction of what the scriptures say, because in Christ Jesus we are perfect. We are righteous. We are holy. But that's not ours to own. That's because it's a gift that Jesus gave to us so that we can have a perfect relationship with him. I don't know what a good test of a good father is, but I know it's not for me to determine. It is for those whom I am the father of to determine. And what they say is the testimony of who I am. And when I give testimony to my earthly father, he was a success. But But his success was due to the eternal Father that he tried with all of his might to follow. God is our success story. And he wanted it to be all of our success story so much that he sent his only son, his firstborn, to a cross so that we could have all the good things that he has in store for us. It's interesting that in this story of the Israelite children, do you know what he calls them? His firstborn son. And when Pharaoh was abusing the Israelite people, they were abusing his firstborn son. The Bible states that they were his firstborn son. Those were his. Those were his people. And so as we think of our children, and we think of the wonderful gift that they have been, the awesome challenges that they often are, but they are the gift and the treasure of God. The Proverbs writes that children are the gift of the gray hair. They are blessed. They are the blessings. We can't get it right, fellas. We just don't have it in us. But God can take all of our deficiencies and take them and make them what is wholly good, wholly right on his timetable. We all didn't arrive at the same time, did we? But God loves us all the same. We are his children. And in a very real sense, we are the Israel that were his firstborn son. So as we celebrate today, we can celebrate, if not our earthly father, we can celebrate our perfect heavenly father, because he sees us, because he hears us, because he is concerned about us, and because he listens to us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you again for being our Father, and that we can grow in a relationship where we can just curl up and say, Abba, Father. That close. Because that's where you want us. In your arms, in your lap. To take care of us. So that the concerns of this world will not drive us away from your great gifts and plan for our lives. And I thank you today in the name of Jesus for the blessings of our children. Amen.
Amen. I invite you to stand as we sing.
Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the world